So I have the joy of landing or crashing the plane on the three-part series on biblical parenting. And so you've talked about the common ground, you've talked about teaching, and now we are especially going to be focused on discipline. My wife Trish and I, we have, by the grace of God, three kiddos. Two teenagers right now, a 14-year-old and a 15-year-old, and the Lord, in his sovereign plan, wasn't our plan, but it was his plan, we also have a 4-year-old, and so we have this gap between our teenagers and a toddler, and this summer I was speaking down in Bolivia, and they have a saying, both for when you go in and you buy something at a shop, and they'll throw in like an extra little gift or some nuts, and they call it a yapa. Or yapa. But you also, if you have a older children and one extra, maybe bonus child, if you will, later in life, they call it a little yapa. So Reese is our little yapa. He is a card. The older kids, of course, say, like many older kids, do you let him get away with everything? And so surely we are in the different phases and seasons of life for loving and discipling teenagers, as well as laying the foundation and the groundwork for our little yapa. So let me jump into this. I also have two illustrations or stories of when we disciplined our older two, and I asked their permission to be able to share the details of how we worked through two separate, pretty epic situations, at least in my mind. And so I've got their permission to speak to you about it. I would not want to embarrass them or speak about them in a way that was not edifying, but my youngest one at the time when I asked permission was like, I don't know if I want you to tell that story. I'm like, I won't. And he's like, well, why are you doing it? Like, well, I want to help other people parent their kids and teach the Bible. And he goes, oh, it's for the Bible. Then yeah. If it's for the Bible, then you can tell the story. So I have permission to share these things. Now remember, we are trying to help our counselees build a God-centered or a Christ-centered home. It's highly likely they may have come in for counseling because maybe they've been very dominant, very selfish, and they have created a parent-centered home. Or maybe they've allowed their children to run the place, and they have allowed it to be a child-centered home. And so the overarching hope and prayer is that their union with Christ, the gospel message, the good news about their redemption, their salvation, their commitment to follow him and to love him and to believe that he loves them would play out in the everyday mundane aspects of life, in the living room, driving to the ball game, in the stands watching them play, after the ball game, in every aspect of their relationship with their children, not just when there is a discipline issue. The cornerstone verse is Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And so this is a command. It's qualified in two ways, with teaching and admonition. And so we've talked a lot about teaching, and ultimately sometimes, even when there is good teaching or if there's not good teaching, we have to help them think through the important area of discipline as well. So let's talk through a few introductory matters before we dive into the meat of the lecture. Number one, are there any fail-safe methods of child rearing? No. There are no turnkey solutions, nothing that works 100% of the time, nothing foolproof. Many times we think if we just push the right buttons, we can guarantee the results. And our children are our free moral agents, able to make their own choices, and we can put forth all of our effort, but we can't guarantee the results. We would say that we have a responsibility before God that we must carry out, but we have to trust God, good and loving God, for the results. I often say it's about laying down train tracks. My job is to be a good steward of laying down train tracks for the glory of God that make it easy for my kids to travel down to honor the Lord if they so choose to, but they might jump the tracks. They might go slower than I want to go. They might be rebelling against that path, but the reality is my job is not to force them to ensure, but to lay down the path well so that they see a clear path and by God's grace and as he works in their life to go in a direction that honors the Lord. But the reality is discipline alone will not bring a child to maturity. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I kind of look at something like, this is my new to-do app, or this is my new email processing technique, and this is going to solve all of my email challenges. If I use this new to-do app, then all of my life is going to be organized. And we tend to latch onto something thinking this is going to be the new thing that works and everything's going to be better after I do this. So you can't latch on just to discipline thinking this is going to fix everything. There needs to be a balance. In the book Successful Christian Parenting by John MacArthur, there's an important quote. He says, "Certainly both manners and discipline are necessary aspects of proper parenting, but teaching our kids manners is no solution to the problem of human depravity. Tacking on punishment for wrongdoing won't solve the problem either. In fact, parents who concentrate all their energies on correcting external behavior or staving off misbehavior with threats of discipline may be doing little more than training hypocrites." And so if we discipline alone, we might lead our kids down the path of rebellion if we don't ever teach them to have internal convictions that govern them when we're not around. And so we want to go back to our basic outline, to obey God's command, to bring them up in the discipline of the Lord. Again, MacArthur points out in his book, discipline of the Lord, it's a comprehensive word describing all aspects of child training, guidance, instructive, and both positive and negative discipline. So discipline is part of the whole parenting package, but it's not everything regarding bringing them up. It's part. Now, what's helpful for me to think about in parenting, but also when I counsel others and teach them, maybe this is all new to them. Maybe they've not been introduced to this. They didn't grow up in Christian homes. They don't know the Bible very well. They're new to church, but they're wanting some guidance. I think it's important to be clear that discipline does not necessarily equal spanking. Discipline doesn't equal spanking. It's not a one-to-one ratio or relationship between the words. That is one option of discipline for sure, and we are going to talk about that. But if you're counseling teenagers, you're not going to be spanking them. There's other ways to be able to bring consequences into their life. If you're foster parents, you have a limited ability to enforce different rules. And so there are a series of negative consequences to the admonition, and there's also positive aspects. What about rewards? Many times incentive for doing what is good also trains and brings them up in a way that honors the Lord. So you want to start with a nice broad definition so that someone who's brand new and you're just like, hey, do you spank or not? It's just like, what? I've never even talked about this or studied this or thought about it. Start with a very broad definition of discipline in mind. One of the things that we do with our oldest son, our second oldest child, he has normal chores. When he wants to do extra chores, he can earn money, but he gets 1 hour of video games on the weekends. So 1 hour Friday, 1 hour Saturday, 1 hour Sunday. And if he does extra reading, exercise, or different things, he can earn one extra hour on Friday, an extra hour on Saturday, an extra hour on Sunday. So there's incentives to be disciplined in a lot of different areas in life. And it's turned out to be a real blessing to our family. And he generally likes earning a bit more screen time. You want to develop a biblical mindset to discipline. There is a foundation for disciplining children. It's redemptive. It is a good thing. Deuteronomy 8:5 says, "Thus you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you, just as a man disciplines his son. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him." It's to bring us back, to help us go towards the Lord, to walk in his ways and to reverence him, so that ultimately we experience the blessing of living and walking in his ways. Hebrews 12:10 says, "He disciplines us for our good because we're going to share in his holiness." Now, just to kind of put another important point on this from MacArthur's book, he says, from the time children are born until there is fruit that indicates they've been born again, parents are in the role of evangelist, constantly pointing and urging their children towards Christ, who alone can remedy the heart problems that cause them to love unrighteousness.